more and more, and they made me feel greatly loved. I hope I that's yours. Good. I need all the notes I can get. Yeah, I don't want to lose none. Okay. We're still going to start in Philippians. We'll finish up with Philippians here. It's so important that we might know Christ. And why? I'm still getting, Sunday school was just getting to know each other better, where I'm coming from. Some of you folks may get mad at me. Some of you cut me off and this, that. And so anyway, you probably know a little bit more now than you knew when you first got here. So now we can move forward. Some of you folks missed me in Sunday school. I'm sorry. But anyway, you'll get to know me better. But why did he save you? Have you ever... Oh, y'all don't mind me walking, right? Oh, good. Minnesota, you don't walk like this. If I get this close to a Minnesotan, they cut you off and they don't come back. Yeah, Wisconsin too. But anyway, I didn't want to run nobody off. They don't want that. I don't know about you, but I want to get drawn nigh to God. I want to get to know God better. But why did he save you? Have you ever wondered why he saved you? You know, well, I'm not that special, you know, but, you know, born again. Why did he save you, though? He didn't save you merely to take you to heaven. I mean, man, I would have been there 27 years ago. I got to say 27 years ago. So I stopped and think, well, why did he save me? Why did he save you? Have you ever wondered why he's allowed you to be here in this time in history, 2014? Probably never thought about that. Well, he allowed you to be here for a special purpose for mankind. Okay, so you stop and think, why did he save you? The purpose of God's working in mankind is not simply to save mankind from his suffering. The purpose of God's working in man is to make it possible for man to walk with God, to glorify Christ. I see, we're out of fellowship, and we need that fellowship. We need that restored. We need to get to know a relationship with God. We have to have the, you know, change begins by the new birth. And so God began to work in mankind, they experienced the new birth, so they can walk up close with God and fellowship with the Lord. Like in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, God met Adam and Eve in the cool of the day and walked and talked with them. Well, folks, he wants the same thing today. He wants to walk with you. He wants you to walk with him by his side, as his friend, as his companion. He don't want you back yonder. He wants you to come up alongside. And he says, will you fellowship with me? Will you walk with me? Am I worth it? I tasted death for you. I took upon myself your sins. I died in your place. Hey, I gave you life. I'm the creator. I created you. You didn't come from a ocean floor and all. Somebody thought they'd come out of a wormhole. Nothing good had come out of a wormhole, I'm telling you. I don't know what come out of a wormhole, but he said, because people still trying to figure out, you know. Well, he gave you life. He gave you health. Are you enjoying the health you have right now? How about when he squeezes your kidney? And oftentimes we just continue. We get saved. We go about doing our own thing, and we think about Christ on Sunday and Wednesday. Well, he never intended us to live that way, you see. And so then he has to touch your kidney, and then you get real religious. You're going to call upon God and say, bail me out. And he says, why? Why should I heal your kidney? Is God able to do that? Amen. Yeah. Jeremiah 32, verse 27, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Anything too hard for me can't heal a kidney, Lord. Well, you don't know me. He says, that's easy. But often, now why would he have to heal? He says, what's in it for me? Why should he heal your kidney? James 4, 3 says, you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Now, if you're not willing to walk with God, serve him, and live a godly life, now why should he restore your kidney? Well, you think you deserve it? Folks, we deserve judgment and hell. Yeah, and so when you see how we don't think right. We don't think like God, and we don't think as God thinks. Because the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So how do you learn to think right? Think like God. Think as God thinks. Think God's thoughts. Well, the word of this, The Bible is the record of God's thoughts. And if you want to think right, not like the world, you want to think like God, you got to spend quality time in the Word of God every day feeding the new nature that you received the day you got saved. And so how much time have you spent with the Lord and getting to know it? Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But the one I wanted was Psalm 32, verse 8. You got to get that thing. You got to make that thing work. Ask God for more memory. Ask Him to get rid of your forgetter. Have you done that? You know what? Some of you folks, I tell you that, and you won't even ask. That don't make sense to me. Get rid of your forgetter. But now if He gets rid of your forgetter, then it's not out of ignorance. It's simply outright rebellion. So you might not want to pray for the forgetter to get gone. But Psalm 32, verse 8, you know what God said? Son, I will instruct thee. Or Norman, I will instruct thee. He says, not in my book. Well, put your name in there. What's my favorite color? Green. What'd you hear? Green. That's all I meant by it. Okay, listen. Psalm 32, verse 8. God said, Son, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt walk with me by my side as my friend, as my companion. You can walk with God. You were created to walk up close with God. Micah 6, 8, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, to do justly, to love mercy, stop at a stop sign, and walk humbly with thy God. Now, folks, if you're not willing to discipline yourself to do right, James says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. It's not the fervency that gets the answer. Folks, the answer comes from a man who is right with God. In fellowship with the King. And so it's so important. Now, if God don't tell you to stop, hey, don't stop. But if God tells you to stop, stop your complaining. Then a good Christian would discipline himself to do what God says. Would he not? You're just like, well, anyway, he never told you something you could not do. So you got to come back this week. I have so much to share. And if you just take this Sunday school and nail, it's not going to be enough. You got to come back, stay on track, and you'll grow in grace and knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And as you walk with Christ, as you die to self and you lay down your life, the life you've made for yourself, and you decide to walk with Him like and get to know Him better, get to know Him intimately and get to know Him like no other Christian on the planet, then you need to obey Him. Oh, man. God did do that too. John 15, verse 10, He said, Son, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. And as you make a choice, you're not going to walk with God. You don't wake up one morning and find that you're walking with God. You make a decision. Mark 8:34, Jesus said, whosoever will. So it's a decision you've got to make. Whosoever will come after me, whosoever will walk with me by my side as my friend, as my companion, deny self and die to self and fellowship. Walk with me. Come up alongside. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so if I could get you to do something today that is love Him like no other generation before us and walk with Him like no other generation before us, and let's do something for Jesus because He's done so much for us. That's my heart. Knowing that one day I'll stand before Him one day. The greatest rule, that's another message is coming up, is called the greatest rule. The greatest rule is self-rule. Proverbs 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. Don't mean much, okay? The Christian, the born-again believer that hath no rule over his... You see what I'm saying? He that hath no rule over his own... He that hath no rule over his own spirit, like a city broken down without walls. The problem is your walls are broken down. You're easy prey. The devil is laughing at you. He mocks at your wisdom. You see, the devil, did you know we're in the spiritual battle? We fight with satanic forces and the devil. You should know that. I'm sure you've been around. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking the Christian that has no walls up. So he that hath no wall, he that hath no rule of his own spirit, like a city broken down with that one. So the greatest rule is self-rule. Samson got in the mess that he got in because he couldn't control his own carnal lusts, his desires, his appetites. He wanted Delilah. Well, that was given for our admonition, folks. And then Jesus said, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, son, you've already lost my power, a blessing on your life and ministry. And so, just talking about getting to know God better. And so that's another message going to come. And then we're going to look at Romans chapter 6. The victorious life in Christ, folks, it is a simple life. It's not complicated. It's a matter of you choosing to yield your life to the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you. Have you done that? Have you started yet? It starts with a decision. Don't wake up one morning and find that you yielded to God. The successful walk with Christ is you making a decision, one decision after another. I'm going to walk with Christ. I'm going to practice His presence. I'm going to study the Word of God. I'm going to obey Him. I'm going to go where He wants me to go. I'm going to bring my life in total submission to Him. And then, and only then, will you discover what the Christian life is all about. The Christian walk with Christ. But not every child of God wants to get to know God that way. But I hope you'll come back. Like Pastor said, if you want to get to know God better, you want to get to know God like no other Christian on the planet, I hope you'll come back. Discipline yourself. You know, those who come to church faithfully, those who come to church tomorrow night, there's going to be someone who made a decision. They're going to be here tomorrow night. And they don't allow circumstances and situations keep them, you know, a flat tire or whatever. As soon as you make up, have you noticed as soon as you make up your mind you're going to be in church or you're going to live for Christ, you're going to practice His presence, trouble comes? You think, what in the world going on? I'll tell you, the devil is doing what is his character to do. Amen. Folks, he's opposing every step you make for God, every decision you make for God. His will is that you might rebel against Him. And he loves it. Does that make sense to anybody? Okay. And so Jesus Christ was opposed every step of the way. You're not going to be exempt. Expected. It's going to come. Temptation to sin, negative circumstances. Not a Christian marriage ever existed without opposition. Not a church ever been built with opposition. If you're on God's side, if you want to walk with Christ by His side as His friend, you've made yourself an enemy. The devil's against you, and he's going to do everything he can to oppose you. He's a wicked enemy. Get to know of him. He knows you. You know where the devil is most likely? Revelation 12:10, for the accuser of our brethren. He's in the presence of God seeking to accuse you of not stopping at the stop sign. He's seeking to accuse you of not living for God and doing right. That's where he's at. Job, I think I should have said off some of this from the previous messages anyway, but trying to build you up to speed to where we're going so we don't have to start all over again. Y'all remember Job? And Satan came in the presence of the Lord, and God said, have you considered my servant, Bob? Put your name in. Have you considered my servant, Tony? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and the man escheweth evil? He is talking about the practical righteousness of Job. He's talking about the practical righteousness of Kim, and saying there's not a Christian on the earth like that girl. Hey, why not you, Sarah? Is there a practical righteousness and godliness about your life today that so impresses Christ Himself that He now takes your character and hurls into the face of Satan? Huh? What you think about Sarah? Pretty good girl, huh? Well, just don't take her life. Are you willing? Oh, you want to know Him, but you... Hey, come on! Has He ever made a mistake? Has He ever owed you an apology? Hey, heaven! Hey, great, I can't wait. Heaven, my home. I think we love this place way too much. You know, but heaven is my home. This is not my home. I'm merely passing through. I got something different, folks.
Amen.
And so he saved you. And that's what I started the whole thing. Joe, how did he save you? I never get nothing done anymore. Okay, why did he save you? So that he might fix you up in such a way that you could render a service unto God in this world and the world to come. You didn't even think about the world to come yet, did you? Yeah, he's making you more and more Christ-like. He didn't save you merely to forgive you of your sins. He didn't save you merely to take you to heaven. He saved you so that he might fix you up if you let him. And that's what this week's about, that he might fix you up in such a way that you will now render a service unto God. That you might, okay, in Sunday school, he created you, right? I guess that was a wormhole came in. Y'all got to tie it together. Okay. He created you. He gave you life. He gave you health. That's where the kidneys came in. Remember, I jump around everywhere. That's where your kidneys came in. He gave you life. He gave you health. He gave you time, talents, treasures, possessions. Why did he do that? So that you might use those for him. He gave you time, talent, treasures, that you might invest that into the cause of Christ. Yeah. And so you got health today. You got to thank God for it. Why are you here? So he wanted to fix you up in such a way that you could render a service. Some of you folks, if you don't wake up, you're going to stand before Jesus and bow the knee, and you're going to bury your face in your hands and say, Lord, I've lived for myself. I've done what I wanted to do. I've not gone where you want me to go. I've not paid in careful instruction of Psalm 33, verse 8. I respected and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I pursued my own dreams, my own plans, my own ambition, my own goal. I forsook your plan. I forsook your to pursue my own dreams, ambition to go. And Jesus will say, you a fool. You've exchanged what I got planned for you. You forsook what I had planned for you. And you'll never have nothing to show him that you love him. You like him, you appreciate him, but that day you'll have nothing to cast at his feet to show him that you love him. Now, any child of God can live that sort of life. But don't you want to stand before him one day with a praise in mind? Don't you want to hear Christ say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful in this world. Man, you have no clue what I have planned for them that love me. You see what I'm saying? It's not that you don't know it. You know these things, but they're not real to you. And that's where we need to get it from your head to your heart. And with a change in your walk, that you be the Christian God wants you to be. So those are kind of things where we're going. I'm trying to bring everybody up to speed. Okay, so the Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul's confession, brethren, he wanted to know, he had not apprehended, he wanted to know Christ, he wanted to know Christ intimately, he wanted to know Christ better. He was not content with his walk with God. He did not want to build a great empire for himself. He didn't want to build riches for himself. He didn't want a life. Folks, if nothing could happen, no joy come my way, I'm going to serve him because he deserves it. What's in it for me? You don't do it because there's something good in it for you. You do it because he deserves it. Am I worth it? He deserves it. And see, that's you have to change the way you think, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you walk. You get to think like Christ. And that you get to get I'll instruct and teach thee in the way which thou shalt think, in the way thou shalt walk and go. And so, have you ever compared how much time you spend in this book to how much time you spend with doing something else? It's so important that we spend quality time in the Word of God feeding the new nature that you have. And if you'll let this book rule and dominate your mind, you're going to walk with God. You're going to think like God. And you'll be transformed. God says, I'll change you. You'll be changed to what you ought to be for Christ. But I can only say, that's how you do it. That means you're going to have to repent. You have to change your mind. That means you have to change your lifestyle. Repentance is a change of mind leading to a change of lifestyle, a change of direction. But we kind of just comfortable where we're at. But, I mean, we're in America. We're comfortable. I mean, we're so comfortable. It's not. You ought to go to a third world country. I said, you know, can't even get over complaining. I was sharing with the folks. I was in the hospital over there, and there was no bed, folks. You lay your sheets, your covers on the floor. And then if there's nobody love you enough to fan you, you don't get AC. There's no colored TV, and there is no Wi-Fi. And food, complain about the three meals. You don't even get three. If the family don't feed you, you don't get the food. But see, we have a lot to learn. And we complain if we don't have Wi-Fi, TV, and color TV, and three meals. Oh, man. Not much of a Christian. There's not much that attracts others to Christ in you. We act like the world. We copy the world's standards. We play the world's music. That's another whole message in itself. But those are decisions that, if I could get you to do something, is when God speaks to your heart, just make a decision. By the grace of God, get one thing. If I want to be a good Christian, and that means if I'm going to be a good Christian, then I'm going to let God order my steps. And if God tells me to study, then that's what I'm going to do. Today, I've made a decision. By the grace of God, I'm going to study my Bible. Now, how do you accomplish all this? We'll get started in a minute. All right, God will not do for you what you could do for yourself and won't do because you have no character. There's a lack of character today among the people of God. If you've got to be pepped up, pumped up, or propped up, you're not much of a Christian. You've got to tingle before you read your Bible. You're not much of a Christian. Okay, you still love me? Okay. Now, God will not do for you what you could do for yourself and won't do because you won't get up tomorrow morning and open the book and say, help. It's this simple. You wake up tomorrow morning, crawl out of bed, you make your way into a room, and you open the Bible and say, help. See, God's not going to wake you up, you know, throw you in the chair and open the Bible and say, read this. But if you will get character, discipline yourself tomorrow to wake up, open the book, say, God, help me. Now, He is going to do something you've not maybe not discovered yet. He's going to help you now because you've met the instruction. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. James 4, 2, you have not because you ask not. And so, well, He knows. Well, yeah. Matthew 7, 7, ask and it shall be given you. He did not say it shall be given you. I know you need help. He said, no, ask and it shall be given you. Why does he do that? I asked Him that. Why do you allow problem, needs, hardships, and difficulties come into my life as a born-again believer? I'm trying to walk with you by your side as you're praying. Why do you do that? So that you might learn that what I do for you, Norm, I do primarily in response to your cry for my help. I said, hey, well, I got that. I finally got it. I just said, help, help, help. Psalms 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I mean, help, help. You know, isn't it great? Humble yourself in the sight of God and He'll lift you up. But, you know, I wonder how many of you folks will get up tomorrow morning and open this book and say, help. Zechariah 4, 6, God says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Philippians 4, 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. You don't walk with Him by His side as His friend and get to know Him like other Christians on the planet? Then you've got to make a step today. He's not going to pick you up and throw you up and take a step. He wants you to have character, say, okay. And then He's now going to meet you to accomplish that in your life. You can't walk the walk or talk the talk. God can. Just like I say, if you don't have enough character or discipline to get up tomorrow morning, open the book and say, help, He won't meet you. But if you'll do that, He'll meet you in that time of discipline and He'll empower you to do something you cannot do. The same with the Christian walk. If you'll say, by the grace of God, I'm going to study. God, I need your help. He'll meet you. If you get up and say, I want to walk with God today, like no other Christian on the planet. Well, He says, okay, I'll meet you now and help you accomplish that discipline through the Spirit. So that's where we're going. That's what we're going to talk about, all that kind of stuff, and trying to put it together so we can go home. But not only. That's coming up this week. So Paul says, I look at my life and I see powerlessness. I see selfishness, self-ambition. I see my own self-centered desires. We all got it, right? I don't know about your sin. My own sin, my own sin nature does not want limitation, does not want to be denied. He wants to rise up and be my boss. He says, come walk with me, Norm. I've got to be the boss. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. Remember Matthew 6:20? I shared that with you. The frustrated Christian. God's peaceful people are frustrated because they're trying to do what Jesus said. Folks, you can't serve God and self. You can't serve God and your job. You can't serve God and your pet sin on an equal plane, not have problems. No man can serve two masters, for either will hate one, love one, hold one, despise one. You cannot serve God and mammon. Take mammon out, put your sin in there. Put whatever it is that you love more than you love Christ. God, you cannot serve God and that thing at the same time, not have problems. Is God enough, or do you need your wife too? You know, you remember this, you see, am I enough, am I enough? Do you need, is the Lord enough? Do you need personal ambitions, carnal lusts and desires, or is the Lord enough? And that's where you have to come in your own walk, in your daily walk with Him, and as you study the Word of God and get to know Him better. So Paul looked at his life and said, hey, this is what I want. I want to be perfect. He said, I want to be perfect. Some of you folks are content. You won't even be back tomorrow, tonight. You're content. But he says, I don't want to be content. I want to be mature. I want to be fully developed. I want to stand before God one day with a praise in mind. And then Paul wanted to get to the place in his walk with God where he lacked absolutely nothing. He wanted to be fully developed in his Christian walk, in his experience with God. That is what Paul wanted for himself. So do you want the same thing? Or are you content to coast along with what you already know? How close you are. When I see the knowledge, when I say knowledge, you know, we'll talk about facts and figures, but it means more than that. Are you content with your just knowing Christ? Are you content with your knowledge of the Son of God? Do you want to know Christ better? Paul said that I might know Him. I'm skipping this. Will you seek after that? Will you say, God, I want to know You better? That's the step that I'm asking you to take. God won't do it for you. But He said, if you'll make a step this morning and say, God, probably won't even get you out of your chair, but I want to get to know You better. Well, folks, He'll now meet you in that moment of decision. And now He's going to empower you to know Him better. that's the simplicity of it. It's not hard. Some of you have never made the decision. Well, why? Mark 8:35. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life shall save it. Some of you are afraid. That God, if you say, God, I want to know You better, you're afraid You're going to mess up your life. God knows how to run your life. And He was running lives a long time before you got here. And He'd be running lives a long time after you're gone. He's always did a good job. Never made one mistake. God never fails. Why then don't you trust Him? Why then don't you trust Him with your life? And that's where this decision you've got to make. I can't make it for you. I'm not trying to take... He says, son, go tell him. I'm not trying to take something away from My people. I'm trying to lead My people to something that's wonderful. Deciding to walk with Me is a path that's wonderful. You got that right. But it requires obedience. I said, well, I ain't going to like that. He's not going to like that. Yeah, and as you walk with Him, and He talks to you. If He don't tell you to take out the trash, don't take it out. But just get up tomorrow and say, God, there's a verse that says, teach Me Thy way, O Lord. I will walk in Thy truth. Go to Him, go to the Lord, earnest, sincerely, like that, and say, Lord, if You teach Me Thy way, teach Me Thy way, O Lord, I'll walk in Thy truth. I'll walk. If You do that, you think He would do that? You think He would do that? He will. And to give the simplicity of it, if you thought God would give you everything you asked for, I'm not this preach it, you know, this name it and claim it kind of thing. Now, if you're not interested in walking with God, getting to know God better, make a decision, then don't even bother asking. You know, you get in financial trouble and you want to ring His bell, say, come bail me out and I'll call you again when I need you. Well, God's not interested in that sort of Christian. Hey, But if you're right with God, you're in fellowship with Him, and you want to do right, and you want to come down on God's side, then ask and ask and ask until either He gives you what you ask for, until He changes your heart. In the last church I was at, I said, have you asked Him for a photographic memory? Have you done that? Well, if it's the will of God, folks, you can have it. John 14:14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Okay. And at the end of the service, I said, how many of you folks actually, I went to this young 16-year-old boy. I said, did you ask for anything? He said, no. I said, man, what part didn't you get? They heard it. Folks, like you say, you hear, but you don't hear. And so if I get you to do something, just make a step of faith. Say, God, whatever decision it is He wants you to study or whatever it is, stop at a stop sign. And it's not, I said, why do you keep saying that? I said, well, if you can't stop at a, discipline yourself to stop at a stop sign, you're not going to stop your complaining. You still start up on the stop sign deal. Okay. Paul said, I might know Him. God wanted to know, God, I want to know what it is to die to myself and to stop living for me. God, I want to know something of Your mighty power, the mighty power of God upon my life, the kind of power that was manifested at the resurrection. Will you seek after God? Will you say, God, I want to know You better? I want to know what it is not to be easily offended or so easily hurt. Well, we need that today. Glory. Okay. And to pour my life into Christ and pour my life into others. Hey, folks. You got to make a decision. I made a decision. I've got needs like everybody else, but I made a decision to set my needs aside that I might go meet the needs of God's people. And I said, Lord, why would You do that? I said, if I'm busy meeting the needs of Thy people, who's going to meet my needs? That was a dumb question. God can do a far better job, God can do a far better job with your life than you can, your needs and this, that, and the other than you can. So, but you've got to, why are you here? You invest in your life in Christ. You invest in your life in others. He gave you life, time, talent, treasure, and gifts that you might produce dividends for Christ. That's why He saved you. Not only in this world, but we got a world to come. Will you seek after that? It is my prayer that verse 10 will be the desire of every person in the building, that I might know Him, that I might know His power, and that I might know death to self, death to self. Paul confessed that he had not arrived yet. He confessed there is more of Christ he did not know. He confessed there is more of God's power he had not experienced. The Apostle Paul confessed that there is more death to self he had not lived out yet. Paul was making some progress. Isn't that great? Philippians 3:15, he said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect. That's not double talk. Paul was saying, I am not perfect in an absolute sense, but he said, hey, folks, I am improving. I'm not there yet, but I'm further along than I was last week. By the way, you ought to be improving. You ought to be further along in your walk with God than you were a year ago, 2 years ago. You ought to be closer to God than you were last night. You ought to be able to say, I am improving. That is, you are less concerned about self than you used to be. You know more of His power personally than you have ever known before. And you are much more intimate with Him than you have ever been before. The only way you get to know me, you got to spend time with me. The only way you're going to get to know Christ like no other Christian on the planet, you got to make the decision to spend time with Him in His Word like no other brother or sister on the planet. And I'm going to tell you, you'll have your heart burn within as He talks with you and while He opens the Word of God. That means you're going to, but it is available for every Christian in the room. See, He's not a respect of persons. You have not arrived, but you are moving in that direction. I hope that can be said of God's people. Paul said, he said, I have not arrived, but I'm moving that way. That should encourage all of us. The Apostle Paul was a soul winner. He wrote many books of the Bible. He had miracles associated with his life. He was a great Christian, but even the Apostle Paul had to say, folks, I have not arrived. That should encourage all of us. That means that if we have not arrived, that we're all in good company. So we've noticed Paul's confession, but notice Paul's go. You say, preacher, what is the one thing? The one thing is Paul said, I pressed. I press. That is, Paul pursued his goal. He pursued to know Christ. He pursued to know something. So Paul did not just sit back on some rock and say, I want to know Christ better, and I'm going to sit here until something hits me on the head. You know, just not coast along. Okay, you got it. So I'm going to sit here until I'm overwhelmed with his power. No, sir, Paul pressed. He pursued. He did something. The Apostle Paul pressed. That requires character, not talent, education, not ability. Paul said, I press. Failures did not defeat the Apostle Paul, and Paul knew plenty of them. Did you know that Paul made many mistakes? I don't know about you, but I make more mistakes than I'd like to confess, but so did he. But he did not let his mistakes defeat him. No, Paul said, I press toward, that literally means to bear down upon the mark, that is the target. So I'm pressing down on the target. Do you have, if you don't aim at something, you're going to miss for sure. So he was aiming in on a target. He was pressing in on the target. I am pressing on the finish line. I'm pressing on the mark. The mark Paul was bearing in upon is that he might know Jesus Christ like no other Christian on the planet. That he might know his power. That he might know the fellowship of God's sufferings. Paul said, I'm bearing in upon it. I'm falling after that thing. I am not sitting around casually until something overwhelms me. I am pressing. I am following after. I am going after that thing. And I am bearing down on the mark for the prize. So what is the prize? It is to know Christ. I don't believe that he is talking about the judgment seat of Christ there. I know that he uses that analogy in other places talking about the judgment seat of Christ. But he is not talking about that there. He is talking about bearing in on the prize of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, about bearing in on the prize of knowing the power of resurrection and the suffering of Christ and his death. I'm bearing in on that. He said, the prize of the high calling. So Paul wanted to go on to maturity. He wanted to be all that God wanted him to be. That was Paul's goal. Hey, folks, I'm just not content. I want to know Christ better. And so Paul's confession, Paul's goal, but his conclusion. How did you get there, Paul? Do you want this same sort of life, walk with God? All right, how did Paul do it? Well, he said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Here it is. The words forgetting are and reaching forth are athletic terms used to describe a racer, a runner. The word forgetting literally means completely forgetting. It refers to the practice of the Greek runner in a race of completely forgetting his opponents, where they are, what they're doing, they're running, yeah, and how close they are, their pace. You say literally forgetting all that. The runner was pressing toward the mark, and he had the finish line in mind, and he wasn't being concerned about how close the pack the other Christians are. Okay? Anyway, I just added that. So don't be dwelling on the past failures. We've all been there, right? It took me a long time to just stop at the stop. It's not. Discipline's not easy. Man, I said, you want me to stop at the stop sign? Man, go pick on John. Oh, man, stop at the stop sign. I finally, it took me a while to get it. Man, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus and stop at the stop sign, you're going to suffer persecution. I'm telling you what, people don't like it when you stop. But anyway, so I thought I'm doing pretty good, Lord. Stop. He said, now stop behind the white line. I said, oh, you got to be kidding me. Stop behind the white line too. Oh, man, that took a little bit more, but, you know, God's grace is sufficient. You see, y'all don't live in my world, do you? But you can stop if you want to. So don't be dwelling on past failures. And I've had plenty of them. I ain't tell you how many times I had to get right. If you have made things right with God, you need to forget the past. Forget that past failure. No joy, no happiness. I'm telling you, folks, we ought to be the happiest people on the planet. We got the supply of omnipotence, the wisdom of omniscience, the guidance of omnipresence, and all. We can't do this, can't do that, can't go here, can't do that, can't wear this, can't wear that, and God's people complain. What's the problem? You did not forget the past. You know, and some of that things, you just didn't forget the past failures. You did not do what God did 15 minutes ago. there 35 years ago. Some of you folks still living in the past. Past failures, defeat. Can't get, you know, I try to read my Bible 17 times. Well, start up again. Okay, you've blown it, right? That's probably all of us in the room. We've all blown it. So you've made some awful mistakes, preacher too. You've made some errors, more than I'd like to confess. You have sinned. I use 1 John 1:9. You failed. You faltered. Get it right with God and then forget it. I said, wow, man, that's pretty good. Proverbs 24, verse 16, the Bible says, a just man falls 7 times and riseth up again. Now we're just, Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt live, how thou shalt walk. Proverbs 24, verse 16, a just man, a Christian man, a just Christian man falls 7 times and riseth up again. That's you. Paul said, forgetting the past. If you fail to forget the past, one or two things will happen. Either the past will lure you back into it, or the defeat of the past will defeat you now with guilt. And so, Luke 9:62, Jesus said, no man having put in his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said, looking back ends up in going back. So, remember Lot's wife? Remember her? Lot's wife? Okay. Paul said, I press here is how I do it. I first of all let go of the past. Some of you folks need to let go. Forget it. I don't keep records of it. I don't keep up with it. I let it go. I turn my back on it. Like the runner, you know, he just pressed into the mark, forgetting the past goes. Okay. My dear friends, if you will let go of the past, you can make some progress. The second thing I do is reach forth. That speaks of the way the racer leans forward in a race as he runs. You know, some of them stick out their chest and try to get as far across as they can. Well, he pushes himself out. Well, I used to. I don't care about used to. Let us move forward now. Reaching for perfection, the maturity, leaning forward in that direction. You see, brethren, as for myself, the Apostle Paul, I look back upon my life and I calmly draw this conclusion. I am not counting myself yet as one who has arrived at perfection, but he said, one thing I do, forgetting completely the things that are behind me and stretching forth to the things that are in front of me, I am bearing down upon the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So let me ask you something else. Have you selected a similar goal in your life? What kind of goal will you have? That is, that you might know him. I hope that'll be your goal. Forgetting the past. Now I'm going to get to know him better. You may not want to know him like Abraham did, because count the cost. He's going to put his finger on the thing that you love more than you love the Lord. And then you might not want to get to know God like Moses did, but you don't get a second chance. And you can get to know God like Paul did, but that means it's not going to go smoothly till you die and go to heaven, but God's never made a mistake. But you can know Christ as good as you want to, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. So have you made up your mind to go after that goal? Now, discipline. That's Proverbs 25, verse 28. Discipline. He that hath no rule over his own spirit. You ought to discipline yourself. And that means certain things you don't do no more. Certain places you don't go. You find me somebody going to the Olympics and going for a gold medal. They're not going to go to McDonald's. You see what I'm saying? They're going to work out 3 times a day. And they're going to work out with a gold medal in mind. We as God's people ought to work out in light of a praise in mind. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful in this world. You have no clue what I have planned for you. Are you willing to do what Paul says? You need to forget the past with its failures, with its disappointments, with its heartaches. We've all been there. Are you willing to lean forward and press yourself forward to the direction of that goal that is yet out in front of you? Are you willing to do that one thing? If you are, you will see your life turn around. Yeah, things will begin to change. What's hindering you from being what the Lord would have you be? Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Folks, if it is some sin of the flesh, confess it and forsake it. Don't let it hold you back. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You'll never be the Christian you ought to be. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If it is some bad or harmful friendship, break it off. If it is some decision that you need to that needs to be made, make it now. Make it now. If it's some habit that needs to be started, then start it. Whatever will move you to the goal of spiritual maturity, perfection, of knowing Christ intimately, like no other Christian on the planet, of experience His power, of knowing death to self, then press toward that while you forget the past and reach forward towards the high calling. And so, and then he says, then just look at that last verse, and I'll quit. The verse, I think it's 16. It says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Now, I wonder how many, actually, what is that saying? Well, that's the gift of the evangelist and the pastor, is that we might, you know, explain in spiritual truth, and not that you can't get it, we're just here to kind of equip you folks to go out and do some work. And so this is what he's saying. You see it, verse 16 right there? Nevertheless, whereunto ye have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Paul said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, maturing, going the right direction, let's keep thinking like that. Whatever God has done in your life, this is what he's saying. Whatever God has done, I think this one's so important. Whatever God has done in your life to get you where you are today, he said, don't forget it. I'm 27 years gone now. I made decisions for 27, but whatever got you to this point, don't forget it. That is the only kind of looking back that is okay in this passage of Scripture. You see what I'm saying? You don't look back. We get to knowing this, the goal is set, and this, that, and the other. Don't look what everybody else trying, what everybody else is doing, this, that, and the other. You got it. But whatever got you to that point, don't forget that. You can pick for the past failures. I mean, I tried to read the Bible 16 times, but you got it the 17th time. Praise God. Well, yes, you've made some past failures, but whatever you got you the 17th time, well, don't forget that. Now you just keep on. You just kind of. Okay, you know, whatever God has done to bring you to the spiritual place you are today, don't forget it. Don't look down on and ignore what the Lord has taught you. And don't give up and quit because the road has gotten rough. I tell you, you get rough sometimes. You know what the devil is going to do? Listen, whatever God has done in your life to bring you to the place where you are right now, rejoice. Rejoice. Live by that. Pay attention to that. Don't count it as light and despise it. Don't get buried under the weight of it. But instead, learn and live by the rule to which you have obtained. That's what the Bible says. That is what Paul said. That is what I'm going to do. He says, I have one thing I'm going to do, one direction I'm going to go. Let that be your goal for the rest of your life. Why don't you begin right now? Forget the past. Reach forward the future, and then press and move forward with you for Jesus Christ. That you stand before Him one day unashamed. So that's kind of put it all together. But tonight, if you come back, it's already tonight. I can't believe it. How change begins. You want things to be different in your home, in your marriage, in your life, in your business. You want your sin nature defeated. You want things to improve, things to be better. Then you got to come back tonight because change begins by the new birth. So bring somebody that's not saved. You got the experience of new birth. Change begins, continues as you yield to the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and change is completed at the rapture of the saints. And so that's tonight.